Morning, everybody. Today's daf is daf Sadi Gimel in Sanhedrin. We're behind. We're back on Sadi Beis Amud Aleph, and we're a little more than halfway down the page. Sadi Beis today. We're starting at 92, and we're about halfway down the page.
What's the first word on the line, please?
Yeah, I'm looking for it myself. It's a great question. You're going to be the first. No, you'll be the second. That's Chadar Miyamala Kohon. I'm a Rebbe Elazar. As the lines become wide, it's the first very wide line. It's the third medium wide line. The line starts with the words Ben Shtei Osios. And then we'll start off today with I'm a Rebbe Elazar. Okay. No, what's it called? Let's back up. No. The first wide line. Sorry, first wide. I'm a Rebbe Elazar. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, correct. Okay. Hard to really figure a flow in this Gemara. We're going to bounce around a lot throughout a lot of aspects, various aspects. But the main theme, however, that we've been focusing on for the past couple days, in the beginning of the 11th parak of Sanhedrin, is where do we find Tchias HaMeisim in the Torah? Tchias HaMeisim is located, is encrypted numerous times in the Torah, never explicitly mentioned, and various Tanaim / Amoraim have their pasuk, which they find to be the clearest source of Tchias HaMeisim located in the Torah. We went through about a half a dozen, probably more, opinions in terms of where you can locate Tchias HaMeisim in the Torah. We're going to generally as we go through this upcoming Gemara, so that's the common theme of the Gemara. You'll see that we're going to go off on different tangents here and there. That's just going to be the nature and the style of the Gemara. So, and sometimes the Gemara gets into one person's position, like Rav Elazar, and it says, oh, you know what Rav Elazar says, and I'll tell you what else Rav Elazar says, and then we just go off onto a tangent in terms of the things that Rav Elazar says. So that's just the style of the Gemara, that's the way it goes. So it's going to be a lot of it, and we'll be like this for a while. So it's... We'll be here and there, as they say. Amar Rav Elazar, we're in the first wide line on the page, right in the middle of the line. Amar Rav Elazar, kol adam sheyesh bo dea, kilu nivne beis hamikdash biyamav. Anyone who has dea. Dea is like a knowledge base, but not just, it's not an accumulation of knowledge, it's insight, it's an understanding. So anyone who has dea, kilu nivne beis hamikdash biyamav, it's like building the beis hamikdash in his days. Shezinitam b'shei osios, v'zinitam b'shei osios. The beis hamikdash, which we already discussed yesterday, was given with two osios. That means, we learned yesterday, that mikdash is surrounded by the name of Hashem, specifically in Az Yashir, right? We quoted yesterday, pa'alta Hashem mikdash, Hashem konuni yadecha. So mikdash is between two names of God. Dea is between two names of God. The pasuk we also quoted yesterday, ki kel deos Hashem. So you see that the name of God surrounds the word dea. So just like so it's similar, it's tantamount to one another. So if I have dea, I'm building the Beis HaMikdash. It's like I built the Beis HaMikdash. V'amar Rav Elazar kol adam sheish bo dea l'sof mit asher. Anyone who has dea will become wealthy. Shenemar, based on the pasuk of Mishle, uvidas chadarim yimlu kol hon yakar v'naim. With da'as, so your rooms are going to be filled with hon yakar v'naim, an abundance of wealth. Amar Rav Elazar kol adam sheish bo dea, aser l'racheim alav. Amar Rav Elazar, anyone who does not have dea, it is forbidden to have rachmanis on such an individual. And sounds harsh, certainly. Shenemar ki lo im binosu, al ken lo yirachmenu oseh v'yatzer lo yichonenehu. I would venture to say, Gemara's not clear about this, but I would venture to say that we're discussing somebody who has intelligence, just chooses to not exercise use of his intelligence. Right? Ki lo im binosu, if he's not a man of intelligence, and the idea is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't have rachmanos, so we ourselves also should not have rachmanos. Our whole purpose is to emulate God. God says, I'm not having rachmanos, so as our emulation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we too should also not have rachmanos. Amar Rav Elazar kol anosim pisa lemishein bodeya yisurin ba'in alav. Gemara makes another seemingly harsh statement, that if you give bread to somebody who is an Eino Ben Das, somebody who chooses not to exercise his deya, so you will suffer as a result of that. You, the one who gives bread. Shenema, the pasuk says, Lach mecha yasimu mazor tachtecha ein tvuna bo. You place your bread mazor. We'll explain what the word mazor is in just a moment. Ain tvunabo, and he has no tvuna, he has no bina, he has no understanding. Main mazor ele yisurim. The word mazor is a reference to yisurim. Shenemar vayar Ephraim es chalyo v'Yehuda es mazuro. Ephraim sees his illness, and Yehuda sees his something similar to illness. The Gemara assumes it's suffering. Okay, Amar avalazik called him shem bodeya l'sof gola. Somebody who doesn't have das, again, I'm going to say someone who chooses not to exercise his use of das, he's going to be exiled. Shenemar lachin gila ami, mibli das. Okay. Va'amar Rav Elazar. More statements of Rav Elazar. So again now, we're just in a thread of, here's what Rav Elazar said, here's what Rav Elazar said, and the statements may not necessarily be connected one to another, but we're now just going to empty out everything we know that was said in the name of Rav Elazar. I'm Rav Elazar called Bai Chain Bo Divrei Torah Nishmaim Bo Balaila Ish Och Laso. You have a house where Divrei Torah is not heard at nighttime. Ish Och Laso will be consumed by the fire. Okay, the Gemara many places discusses the importance of learning at night, specifically Torah Shabbat Peh. The Rambam records this as halacha as well. It's extraordinarily important to learn Torah, specifically Torah Shabbat Peh at night. And the Gemara over here says that if Torah is not heard in the house, so it will be consumed by a fire. Shenemar, kol choshech tamun litzfonav, tochleu eish lo nofach, yaras sarid be'oalo. Any house that is tamun litzfonav, hidden, a fire will consume it lo nofach, a fire that doesn't need to be blown up, billowed. You know how in the olden days they used to, in order to get a fire going, so you had to really wave at it and get it good and hot. Such a fire consumes the individual, one that doesn't need billows. Yaras srid ba'olalo, the srid will experience evil in his house. What's a srid? Ain't srid el tamachacham. That's a reference to a tamachacham. Shenamar uvasridim asher Hashem korei. Okay. Amar Rav Elazar. Next statement to Rav Elazar. Kol she'inu mehana tamid chacham and minachas ve'neroa siman bracha la'olam. You don't support a tamid chacham. You don't provide for a tamid chacham from your own possessions. You will not see a siman bracha. Shenamar ain't srid la'achlo al kein lo yachil tovo. He did not feed the srid, so therefore lo yachil tovo, he won't get benefit from his possessions. And again, ain't srid el tamid chacham shenemar v'sridim asher Hashem korei. Okay. Next statement of Rav Elazar. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Kol sheinu mishayir patal shochana hinu rosim and bracha la'olam. You got to leave some bread over at the end of the meal. If you do not leave bread over at the end of the meal, you will not see simon bracha. You won't get any bracha. There is an opinion brought down by the Ravid, and it's a popular opinion that at the end of every meal you should leave some over at the end of every meal, right? It's called Tanis Ravid, a fast imposed by the Ravid. The idea is that basically you should enjoy the world, but not overindulge. This Gemara over here is a different idea. This is not the same idea as the Ravid.
And be wasting though.
Hmm?
Wouldn't
that be wasting? Baltashkas is only when there's no purpose. If there's a purpose, like this Gemara over here, if there's a purpose, so then it's not Baltashkas. Even though the food's going to end up going in the garbage, but there's a purpose to why you're doing it. As long as there's something behind it, so then it's not Baltashkas. That's a general rule by Baltashkas. So kol she'inu mishayir pasal shochanei nerei siman bracha la'olam. So you got to leave some bread over. Shenemar ain't srid la'achlo. Alkein lo yachil tovo. Fine. The Hamar Rav Elazar called Mishayir Pititam Ashochana Kilo Oved Avarazara. So the Gemara says, wait a second. There's another statement by Rav Elazar, which almost sounds the exact opposite. That if you leave bread on your table at the end of a meal, it's like you're being Oved Avarazara. Now the way Rashi explains this, it's like you're taking a loaf of bread and you're like offering it to the gods. Okay? So, okay, whether you are or you're not is not the point. It's ki'ilu, it's like you're doing it. So we are thoroughly confused. One hand, Rav Elazar says it's good to leave over some bread at the end of the meal. Rav Elazar says if you do, it's like you're being over Avodah Zarah, lo kasha. Sorry, first the pasuk. Shenemar ha'orchim legad shulchan v'hammemalim lamanei mimaseich. It's ironic that in Yeshayahu, the word that's used to describe other gods is God. Okay, that's an irony. Ha'orchim legad shulchan, he sets his table up for this false god known as God. It's like being memasech, libating oil towards this other god. So, pasuk aside, now we have a stira within the two statements of Rav Elazar lo kasha. I don't know. That Rav Elazar feels.
You would think it's the opposite.
Right. Rav Elazar, right. I hear. Rav Elazar has his Mesorah. So, Lokasha Hadika Shlema Bahadeh, Adalekha Shlema Bahadeh. Okay. And the Gemara says there's no stira. Leaving little crumbs, morsels, so that's good. And now let's get to the punchline. Why is that good? Why is it bring Siman Bracha? The way Rashi explains it, Rashi writes, right? Having a little bit of bread left over at the end of the meal, you'll be ready for the poor people. Meaning if a poor person walks in, and at the conclusion of your meal, so what are you going to say to him at that point in time? Look, I'm really sorry, we finished all of our food. We have nothing left for you. So you want to be always prepared. So it's interesting, because Hedy comes out now, that the whole, according to Rashi, the whole purpose of leaving bread over, Rav Elazar's position of leaving bread over at the end of the meal is to be ready for the poor people. If there happens not to be poor people coming in, so you're going to end up throwing it out or saving it, I'm not sure. But the point is that you should always have something aside in preparation, right? Be prepared. That would be okay. That's not considered Baal Tashchis. If, however, you leave an entire loaf left over, that's like leaving it over for the other gods. Right, the mechze, Rashi writes, the mechze de l'shem avodah zarah v'nhachi, it looks like you're being over the avodah zarah. Okay, end of the bread discussion. I'm a Rav Elazar. Next time at the Rav Elazar. I thought meant, when I was preparing the Gemara, I thought meant lying. In other words, machlif b'dibur, you change your words, meaning you say one thing but you really meant another, or you just didn't keep your word, something like that. That's not what Rashi says. Machlif b'dibur, Rashi writes, Mishan b'dibur shalo yeinikar. You impersonate. You change your voice, so you distort your voice so that you won't be recognized as to who you are. It's a deception. And I know why Rashi says that, based on the source that the Gemara is going to bring for this halacha. Ksiv halacha v'hayisi be'inav kimetateya. Right, Yaakov turns to his mother, and Yaakov says to his mother, "No, what do you want me to do? You want me to impersonate Esav? Right? I'm going to seem to my father like mitatea." Now, the word mitatea doesn't translate easily. Uksiv hasam. However, we do have another sighting of the word mitatea in Tanakh, in Yirmiyahu, Hevel Hema Masa Tatuim. In the context over there, it seems that Tatuim refers to Avodah Zarah. So you see that what Yaakov is saying to his mother is, look, if I impersonate my brother, it's like I'll be being Ovid Avodah Zarah. Okay, so that's the that's clear. It's interesting because if you put now this in the context of the story, Yaakov did a bad impersonation. Meaning, when the father saw him, Kol Yaakov, your voice sounds like Yaakov, Ayadayni De Esav. So it's interesting because according to Rashi's Pshat in the Gemara, he wasn't Mishana Diburo. He tried to deceive his father for sure, but he didn't change his voice. His voice remained the voice of Yaakov. Okay. Amar Rav Elazar called Mistaka Be'erva Kashtonin Eres. Rav Elazar says if you look at Erva, right, parts of a woman that we're not supposed to look at. If you look at Erva Kashtonin Eres, literally the words mean your arrows will be depleted. You won't have any more arrows. Shenemar Erya Taor Kashtecha. Pasuk in Chavakuk says that Erya, that nakedness, will empty out your bows, your arrows. What does that mean? Rashi offers two pshatim over here. Rashi's on the left-hand column. There is no Tosfos in the 11th parak. So when I say Rashi, you have to scan both sides, the right and left side of the page, where Rashi's on both sides. Here we're on the left side of the page for Rashi. Kashton in Eres. So Rashi, the first pshat Rashi gives is kolach koshi evishlo nin arsha eino molid. You become impotent, says Rashi. Shenemar Eryata or kashtecha. Eryasha tamastalkaba, he says pshat in the pasuk. If you look at erva, mamash be'ervasa, he ta'ir kashtecha. It will deplete you of your arrows. Right? So that's pshat one in Rashi, it leads to impotence. Davar acher, the second possible pshat, hamistakel hamechashe ba'arayos de'eshes ish, kashto gvuras yado nin eres. Here, it's not looking directly at erva, but contemplating erva, contemplating another man's wife. Kashto is gvuras yado. It's a reference to your general strength. Nin eres depletes. Mitalechet umin ma'etes. You will have a depletion of general strength. Kamal, matzak sus minara, achas l'shoshim yom, inami v'ayinai r'ashem. And Rashi cites Gemara's and Pesukim, where the word na'or means to deplete, to diminish in strength. Okay, two possible pshatim over here. Amar Rav Elazar, back to the Gemara, about seven lines from the bottom of the page. L'olam ha'vekabel v'kayam. The word kabil here in the Gemara is used in the Aramaic sense. You should be kabel, says Rashi. You should be humble. Anav. Vishafel. You should be humble. Vikayam. And if by being humble, you're going to live a long life. Amar Rav Zera, afananamitanin. Rav Zera says, I'll tell you that I have a proof for this from a Mishnah in Negayim. How is a Mishnah in Negayim going to discuss being humble? So it's interesting. Look at this. Let's learn the Mishnah Negayim, and then we'll try to bring it back to the point of Rav Elazar. Beis afel ein poskan lo chalanos liros nigal. Mishnah Negayim goes like this. You know, there's tumas batim, right? That if there's saras on the walls of the house, so you have to invite the kohen to come in. First thing you do is pino sabais. You remove everything out of the house so that before the kohen declares it to become tamei, everything's out of the house. Then the kohen's going to come in, take a look at it, and see the nega and declare whether to be nega tzaras or not nega tzaras. Fine. What if it's a house that doesn't have windows to it? Okay? There is no requirement to illuminate a house. If the house has natural luminance, a window or a wide door, so then that's fine. But if the house itself doesn't provide natural luminance, there's absolutely no requirement to bring light into the house in order to see the tzaras. Rashi says this is based on a pasuk. Rashi says, the next Rashi on the page, kenega nirali babayis ksiv. The pasuk says it appears to me the mashma nira mi meila, meaning that the kohen walked in and did nothing other than just see it. Va'odich siv li v'lo la'ori me, but not to my light. Nimsa sha'afalto hatzalaso. Turns out now that because the house is dark, you're saved. Even if it really is saras on the walls of the house, if you don't have enough natural luminance, you're okay. The chosman shein kohen ro'eh ein matame v'nagayim. If the kohen can't see it, it's not tame. Okay? Interesting halach in the Mishnah Nagayim. Now let's relay that back to Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar says that if you're humble, you will live a long life. The idea is that humility means that you don't flaunt yourself, you don't expose yourself, much like the house that doesn't expose itself, and therefore will always be protected, even if it has saras, will still be protected. You yourself, if you don't flaunt yourself, so you will always be protected, even if there are things that incriminate you, nevertheless, you're still going to be fine. Okay? See, by the way, it's like the opposite of Ayin Hara. Right, Ayin Hara is when you flaunt and you're exposed. So basically, now you are
drawing
attention to yourself, and anything that may incriminate you now, you're flaunting as well. Okay, Shema Mina. Amar Rav Tevi, Amar Rav Yoshi, Amar Dichsiv, Sha'ol Ve'otzer Rechem Eretz Lo Sava Mayim. Things that never become satiated. Sha'ol, the grave. Right, the grave never seems to be satiated. Always wanting more people to come to the grave. Otzer Rechem. A woman's private area, never satiated. Eretz lo sava mayim, and also land regarding water. Like, in other words, the land is always interested in more and more water. Okay, certainly random in terms of the selection of things that never become satiated, but the Gemara tries to now draw a connection between the two of them. There are three things mentioned in the pasuk: v'chima inyan sha'ol etzel rechem, grave and rechem. What do they have to do with one another? Ela lomalacham arechem achnisa motzi Av Sha'ol Machnis Umotzi. So the Gemara says, well, here's what we're going to learn. When you look at the woman's rechem, so it, things enter it and things come out of it, right? The zera goes into her through the rechem, and the baby comes out through the rechem. So the land is going to be the same thing as well. People go into the land, people will come out of the land. Okay? V'halo dvarim kavachomer. Well, before we get to the kavachomer, another proof min haTorah, again, this is Tanakh, this is Mishle, but another source in the Torah of Tchias HaMesim. V'halo dvarim kavachomer. U'marechem shemachrisim bo b'chashayim motzim emenu b'kolei kolos. When it comes to the woman, so upon entrance, it's quiet. It's done in a private area, in a private room, right? No one else knows about it. And meanwhile, when the baby comes out, kole kolos, baby comes out screaming and crying, and people are happy. Sha'ol shen machnisim bo bekolos. So now the sha'ol, the grave, where when someone's buried, there's a lot of voices. There's crying. There's wailing. Ain odin shemotzim imenu bekole kolos, and for sure when we come out, there's going to be kole kolos as well. What is the kole kolos when we come out during Tchias HaMesim? Short Rashi. Rashi writes, I'm sorry, we're right, bekole kolos. Ain odin shemotzim, right? Shenemar yitaka b'shofar gadol, a shofar. There's going to be the sound of a big shofar blast upon Tchias HaMesim. That's the kolei kolos. Mikanchu v'la'omrim ain Tchias HaMesim min haTorah. So again, another source in Tanakh where you have Tchias HaMesim, not explicitly mentioned, but encrypted in the Psukim in Mishlei. Tan de be'aliyahu tzadikim shasid HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'achiyosam in achozim la'afram. Tzadikim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to resurrect, don't go back to the grave. Ina chozrim la'afran. Now, I told you, beginning of the 11th parak, what will happen during Tchias HaMesim is going to be very unclear. Unclear because the Gemara gives us multiple versions of what will take place. Unclear because the Rishonim have a major debate as to what exactly is going to happen. The Rambam's position is that Tchias HaMesim, we come back, we're resurrected, we come back, we live here on the earth for a certain amount of time, he doesn't say how much, and then we die again. That is the opinion of the Rambam. Consistent with what I mentioned yesterday, the Rambam passes like Shmuel, where Shmuel says that when it comes to the period of Tchias HaMesim, there will be no physical change during the period of Tchias HaMesim. Right? Shibur Malchus Bovad is the only thing that changes, is that we'll be autonomous. Other than that, we'll build the base of Mikdash, but nothing else will change. Everything else remains the same. Even, we said yesterday, even the intensity of the sun doesn't change. Nothing changes, says the Rambam. That's Shmuel's position in the Gemara, and the Rambam subscribes to that position. So consistent with that, the Rambam's of the opinion that during this period of Tchias HaMesim, we're going to die again. And then we go to the Olam and Neshamos, and we go to some spiritual being. That is the Rambam's position. It is somewhat supported by this Gemara, although you can go both ways. Tana de Be'eliyahu says that there's a certain group of people, a certain group of tzaddikim, that will be resurrected, and they don't die. Now, you really could go both ways, meaning that the general population will die again, right? And that's what the Rambam's view is. On the other hand, according to the Rambam, so should the tzaddikim, meaning everybody should die again. What exactly is happening with these tzaddikim that they don't die again? So I don't know. It's not 100% clear how this works according to the Rambam's view, but
from Rambam's standpoint, what is the purpose of this resurrection of the dead period? What what is the purpose?
It's a good question.
Do we have Yisrael or we don't have Yisrael?
The tzaddikim to teach us, right?
If nothing changes, so then basically it'll be pretty much the same.
That means that it's Yisrael.
Yeah, I would assume. It's the Rambam's view is a very rational view. By the way, amongst the Rishonim, he's by himself.
No, but it seems like he's representing Shmuel too.
Yeah, right. No, Shmuel for sure. Right, so Rambam and Shmuel are on the same.
So what does Shmuel think about?
As I mentioned yesterday, I know very little about this. The fact that we're learning the Gemaras together doesn't make me an expert at all. As I mentioned to Ben yesterday, I could say over the Gemaras, but I don't have any more, you know.
Sorry.
I don't have better insight. These are good questions. I mean, we'll see. The Rambam writes, you should know, I'm going to quote this Rambam a lot. He says, you know when we're going to find out a lot about these things? When it happens. The Rambam writes that. So, you know, I'll say the same thing. When it happens, we'll understand it much better. We're only getting somewhat of a sampling of what is going to be. So Tzadikim Shasi Kosh Baruch Hu La'achiyosam Eina Chozim La'afram Shinemar V'ayan Ishar B'tziyom V'anosar B'shalem Kadosh Yom Elo Kol HaKosov L'chaim B'sholayim. Okay? Pasuk in Yishayahu says that the remnants in Sion are Kadosh, they're going to be holy. Ma Kadosh La'olam Kayam. Then we talk about the ultimate Kedusha HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's La'olam, he's forever. Avheim La'olam Kayamim. These Tzadikim also perpetually exist after Tchias HaMesim. The Intomer, top of Tzadi Beis, Amin Beis, the Intomer, Osem Shnein, Shanim Shasir, Kosh Baruch, Lechaz, Mem, Etz Olamo, Shenemer, Vednizka, Vashem, Lavado, Bayamahu, Tzadik, Mahin, Osim. Now, there is going to be this period of time where Kosh Baruch is going to be by himself. Meaning that after Tchias HaMesim, Kosh Baruch will be by himself to renew the world. Okay, the pasuk says, we're familiar with this pasuk, "V'nizkav Hashem avado b'yamahu," that Kosh Baruch Hu is by himself on that day. So these tzaddikim who are here and will always be here. So what are they doing? And the world is during that period of time uninhabitable. So how is these tzaddikim surviving in an uninhabitable world? HaKadosh Baruch Hu osam lem kenafayim kenasharim v'shatim al pnei hamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides wings for them, and they are shatim al pnei hamayim, floating over the water using their new wings. Okay, shenemar. Wait. Al kein lo nira behamir eretz b'mot harim b'lev yamim, and the pasuk gives us some idea of how they're floating. V'shema tamar yishlem tsa'ar. Now that's a long time. It's v'yomahu on that day, right? We have, based on tradition, that a day for Kosh Baruch Hu is 1,000 years. So this is 1,000 years of floating over the water. Is that heard? Tamar lomar v'kov v'shem yachlifu koch yalu aver kinesharim yarutzu v'lo yigau yelchu v'lo yafu. Okay, and the Gemara says no. Kosh Baruch Hu restores their strength, so that they will have no problem just simply floating for those 1,000 years. Okay, don't everyone hold your questions. The Nalef, thank you.
The reality of the pasuk is very appropriate. Those who have strength, you know,
right, will get renewed.
Believe, yeah.
Right. The Nalef mi meisim shehechiyeh yecheskel. Oh, good. So now we'll spend some time today. We're going to go over two main areas in Tanakh this morning. One is going to be right now Tchias HaMesim by Yecheskel, the Atzamos Yeveshos, and later on this morning we'll talk about Mishael, Azariah, V'Chananya. Okay. Let's start off today with the dry bones of Yecheskel. V'Nelev V'Mesim Shech Yecheskel. Okay. There is a story in Sefer Yecheskel, I think we're all familiar. Yecheskel resurrected people. Perek Lamed Zayin in Yecheskel. So he took Atzamos Yeveshos, dry bones, and he resurrected them. Who are the, first of all, okay, let me present the questions. Did this really happen? Okay, question number one. Question number two, if it did, who are these people? Question number three, after identifying these people, what happened to them? Right? Basic questions about the Atzamos Yeveshos that were resurrected by Yecheskel. So, as to question number one, did it really happen? Machlokes. You know the answer to everything is going to be machlokes. Not. Just these questions I presented. Did this happen? Subject to a debate. There is an opinion in the Gemara, which we're going to be introduced to today, this morning, that it did not happen. It's just a mashal. Yecheskel is there to illustrate, this is just educational, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God didn't forget about you people. Right? You're withering away out in Bavel. By the way, Yecheskel went out to Bavel. That's where he did most of his nevuah. You're withering away out in Bavel. Don't worry. God didn't forget about you. There was no Atzamos Yeveshos. It's just a mashal. It's just an analogy. That's one opinion in the Gemara. Another opinion in the Gemara, which we'll see, seems to be the preponderance of position, is that no, this really happened. It really was a group of people. We'll identify who they are in just a moment. So, says the Gemara, the Nalef me, Why don't we learn out from the dry bones of Yechezkel? Meaning, what the Gemara is asking right now is the following. The dry bones of Yechezkel, he resurrected them, and they lived, and then they died again. So, you see that this idea of Tchias HaMeisim, it's not enduring. They come back to life, and then they die again. So, it seems that this idea that the tzaddikim are going to come back to life and then they're going to die, and they're not going to die, seems to be contrary to what happened with the Yechezkel and the dry bones. So the Gemara says, not a problem. Savala kamanda amar be'emes mashal haya. The Rav Elazar statement that he said that was said in the bottom of the previous page. Sorry, it's not Rav Elazar. Tana de be'aliyahu, right, does not think that the story, is of the opinion that the Atzamas Yaveshos is just a mashal. Never really happened. It's just there as a parable, as an analogy.
It depicts the situation of the Jewish people at that time.
Correct. Detanya Rav Elazar Omer, Mesim, Sheche Yecheskel, Amdu al Ragleim, V'amushiru u'mesim. We have a Braisa, and here the Braisa gives us multiple positions in terms of what happened by the Atamas Yaveshas. Position number one by Rav Elazar is that Yecheskel resurrected them, stood on their feet, said Shira, and then died. Mashir Amru, Hashem Memes Betzedek Umechaye Berachamim. When God kills us, he does so Betzedek, right? With justice, and it was the right thing to do, and brings us back to life with Rachamim. Rav Yeshua Omer Shirazu Amru, Hashem Memes Umechaye Morit Sha'ol V'Ya'al. Okay, seems to be a discrepancy of what the Shira actually was. Rav Yehuda Omer MS Mashal Haya. Rav Yehuda says, truth, it was a mashal. Amar of Nechemiah imemes lama mashal v'imashal lama emes. He didn't originally understand what Rabbi Yehuda was saying. What do you mean? Is it true or is it a mashal? Pick. So Ella be'emes mashal haya. So the Gemara just takes a moment to help us clarify what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. No, in truth, it's a mashal. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So now what we'll do is we'll line up the opinion of Tana de Be'eliyahu on the bottom of the previous Amud together with Rav Yehuda. He believes that this story is a mashal, and the reason why he subscribes to that is because he thinks that some people will be resurrected and will live forever. And the story of the dry bones seems to contradict that. Rav Elazar ben Osher, Rav Yosef Glil Omer, Mesim Sheche Yechazkel, Alel Eretz Yisrael, V'nasu Nashim, V'olid Dabanim V'vanos. The position of Rav Yosef Aglili is that those that Yechezkel resurrected, they made Aliyah, okay, and they married women, and they gave birth to children, and Amad Rav Yehuda ben Besera al Raglav, and along stands up Rav Yehuda ben Besera, he's a Tana, early Tana, lived during the Second Temple period. Va'amar ani mi b'nei b'neihem. I am a descendant of those that were resurrected by Yechezkel. V'halalu tefillin sheni echli avi abba mehem. And the tefillin that I wear is a keepsake from an altar zedi, a great-great-grandfather that was resurrected by Yechezkel. Okay. At this point in time, well, just 1 second. Okay, a little bit more. Okay, so it's to question number one. Did it really happen? So subject to machlokas, but there's one opinion out there that it didn't happen. It's just a mashal. That's the opinion of Yehuda. And there are many other Tanaim who believe that it happened. Fine. If it happened, question number two, who are they? Identify these groups of people that Yechezkel resurrected. So, Maninu Mesim Shech Yechezkel, Amarav, Elu B'nei Ephraim, Shemanu L'Ketz V'Ta'u. So, one opinion is that they were the B'nei Ephraim. B'nei Ephraim forecasted that the Egyptian exile has officially come to an end. Okay? Now, they were 30 years premature. How did that happen? It's very easy. Because at the Brisbane of Masarim, God said to Avraham, Yado Teda, you should know that your children are going to be in Mitzrayim for 400 years. That was a promise that was made to Avraham Avinu. Okay? So the B'nai Ephraim did something very simple. They went back to Brisbane of Masarim, they counted 400 years, and they landed on the 400th year, and they said, perfect, it's time for us to leave Egypt. And so B'nai Ephraim packed up their bags, and they left Egypt with a terrible fate. They were killed by the B'nai Gas. Okay? What happened? Right? 400. They seem to have counted right. Right? No, they didn't count right. What they did is that they started counting from Brisbane and Besarim. That was incorrect. Right? Ki gir yezarecha be'eretz asher lo lahem. Your children are going to be strangers. The birth of Yitzchak is when the counting of 400 should begin. And they counted from Brisbane and Besarim. Brisbane and Besarim took place 30 years prior to the birth of Yitzchak. That's why when you read Parshas Bo, it says that we were in Egypt for 430 years, right? That explains the discrepancy. Because there was an extra 30 years that were tacked on from Brisbane and Besarim to the birth of Yitzchak. The Bnei Ephraim didn't count those years. They thought 400 still goes back to Brisbane and Besarim, and that's why they left early. Okay? So Rashi says that even though Yitzchak was in Eretz Yisrael, but he didn't own Eretz Yisrael. So he's considered a gir. Okay, that's how Rashi explains it. Okay, end of the first part of Megillah, also same approach. So they were the Bnei Ephraim. Shenamo Bnei Ephraim, Shusalach Uvarad Beno, Vesachas Beno, Valada Beno, Vesachas Beno, Vezeve Beno, Veshusalach Bezo, Ve'ezer, Ve'elad, Ve'hargum, Anshei Gas, Hanoladim Ba'aretz, and they were killed by Anshei Gas. Uksiva Isabel Ephraim Aviyam Yamim Rabim. Ephraim, interestingly enough, sounds like from the Pesukim and Divrei Yamim that Ephraim was still alive at the time. Right? He's old. I mean, that puts him in a very old age at the time. And in other words, he was born in Egypt, Ephraim, but still we're talking about 200 years later. Okay, but they had launched.
He didn't go with him. He wasn't killed.
Right. So and he didn't go with him. And the brothers come to console Ephraim. Okay. That is one opinion in the Gemara as to who they were. Shmuel Amar Elu Bnei Adam Shekafu B'Tchias Amesim. They were a group of people who denied Tchias Amesim. Shenamar Vayomar Elai Bnei Adam Atzmos Haelu Kobeis Yisrael Hema Hena Ormi Yevoshu Atzmosenu Ve'avda Tikvasenu Nigzarnu Lanu Gzer upon us, because we lost hope. We didn't think there was this thing called Tchias Amesim. And I guess the point is Yechezkel resurrected them to prove to them that there's such a thing as Tchias Amesim. Rav Yirmiya Ba'aba Amar Elu Bnei Adam Shein Ba'am Lachluchi Shal Mitzvah. These are people that had no moisture of a mitzvah. That's why their bones were dry. Shenemar HaTamas Yeveshos Shemud Var Hashem. Rav Yitzhak Navcha Amar Elu Bnei Adam Shechifos Ahechal Kulu Shkatzim V'Ramasim. Another opinion of the Gemara is that they filled the Heichal with Shkatzim V'Ramasim. Shenemar V'Avo V'Rev Yinei Kol Tavnis Remes V'Hema Sheketz V'Chol Gelulei Bayis Yisrael Mechuka Al Hakir Saviv. Okay? Filling it up with Shkatzim V'Ramasim. I guess Mida Keneged Mida. They're put to death and they're dried up. Uksiv Hasim V'Avirein Aleim Saviv Saviv. Okay. Fine. Just one more opinion. Rav Yochanan Amar Elu Mesim Shebebikas Dura. These are the dead from the Valley of Dura. The Valley of Dura takes us back to the story of Nebuchadnezzar, killing off all the a group of Jews from in this place called Dura. The Amar Rav Yochanan, just a little bit more. V'amar Rav Yochanan minari eshal ad revas bekas dura shebishar shehigla Nebuchadnezzar rashi Yisrael hayu bahem bachuro shayu meganim es hachama biyofyam. The Gemara here describes that when Nebuchadnezzar took out some young men out of Jerusalem and brought them down to Babel, they were very handsome young men. The Gemara's description of these young men is that they're so handsome they even put the sun to shame. Vayu kasdios rosa sam v'shofaos zavos. Chaldean women, right? Babylonian women saw these men and just basically had a strong desire for these men. The Gemara describes shofar zavos, right? A flow when seeing these men. Amr lebaalem uvaalem lamelech, vaalem lamelech. They told their husbands, and why they told their husbands is bizarre. I guess that's how it goes in Chaldean. And then the husbands told the king, Siva Hamelch Vahargum, and the king went and he killed the boys, Va'adainu Yishofan Zavos, but still, even in their death, they still were attractive. Siva Hamelch Veramsum, and the king went and he leveled them. Meaning you're just destroyed, desecrated their bodies, so that they don't even see the bodies anymore. That was the group of people that died in Dura, and that's who Yechezkel resurrected. Okay, so as to the question of who these people were, okay, so the first question, did it happen or not? Machlokas. If it did happen, who are these people? So the Gemara gives a number of opinions over here on Sadi Beis Amid Beis in terms of who these people actually were that Yechezkel resurrected. And there was one opinion that they had children and they went on to populate the world. Okay, pause for just a moment. I know we're behind. A brilliant comment by the Vilna Gaon. I've cited this before, but it's so unbelievably brilliant. One opinion in our Gemara is that these members of the that the Yechezkel resurrected were the Bnei Ephraim, right? And the people who left Egypt early, and as a result of that, they died and they were killed, and that's one opinion in the Gemara. Okay. The Vilna Gaon uses this opinion, granted it's one of many opinions, but uses this opinion to explain a question that bothers Tosfos, a number of the Rishonim. There's a story in the Gemara in Pesachim, in the beginning of the Gemara in Pesachim. Great story, Daf Gimel. The Gemara over there tells a story of some non-Jew who annually goes up to Jerusalem and eats the Karban Pesach. Right? You remember the story? And
sounds like a good story between Mincha and Erev on Pesach.
You remember. Right. I told over this Vilna Gaon. I'm going to do it quickly. And every year he comes back and he says, you know, I eat Karban Pesach. And I know the Torah says I'm not allowed to because I'm not Jewish, but so what? I went up there and I ate. It's a crazy story. So and he goes over to Rav Yehuda ben Becerra. And he says to Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, look, I'm doing it. And he rubs it in the face of Rav Yehuda ben Becerra. At which point in time, Rav Yehuda ben Becerra says to him, you know what? Next time you go up there to Yerushalayim and you're eating Karban Pesach, ask for the tail. Tail is the best part of the animal. And they're not giving it to you, and it's a shame. You should ask for the tail. And so the next year he goes up to Yerushalayim and he says, I'd like the tail of the Karban Pesach. Now, we don't know this because unfortunately, we don't have Karban Pesach. The tail, nobody eats it. It's fat. The fat goes up on the Mizbeach. It's Chelev. And nobody eats it. So, and this non-Jew didn't know that information either. So he goes up to Yerushalayim, he asks for the tail. They look at him and they say, who asked you to ask for the tail? So he said, Rav Yehuda ben Becerra. Oh, really? So they they come here. You know, they brought him into that special private booth and they asked him a couple questions and they found out that he was non-Jewish. And interestingly, to finish off the story, they killed him. Okay, now, I'm going to gloss over that point as to why they killed him. And Tosfos over there on the Gemara says, I'm sorry, and the story ends off with a message sent to Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, At ben Netzivin, Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, you live out in Netzivin, and meanwhile, Uprus Asach ben Yerushalayim, you spread out a trap, you ensnare in Yerushalayim. It's amazing how you live in Netzivin and still you're able to help us trap this guy, capture this guy. Tosfos over there on the Gemara says, wait a second, I don't understand something, and I have a very simple question. What is Rav Yehuda ben Becerra doing not in the Beis HaMikdash on Pesach? Right? Like, why is he still living in Netzivin and staying in Netzivin? Why doesn't he come? Netzivin is some town in the north. Why doesn't he come to Yerushalayim and eat Karban Pesach together with the other Jews? So that's Tosfos' question. It's a great question, and Tosfos has a number of answers to answer this question. He makes, if I'm not mistaken, three suggestions as to why it is. One of the answers that Tosfos says is that he didn't own land in Eretz Yisrael, and as a non-landowner, so therefore he has no mitzvah to go up to Yerushalayim during the Shosh Gimel Regalim. Okay, it's a difficult answer, to be honest with you, because that helps the mitzvah of Aliyah Larego. But still, there's a mitzvah of Karban Pesach. Okay, it's a difficult answer. But many people say, even on this answer, what do you mean he doesn't own land in Eretz Yisrael? Right? How can he not own land? Every Jew owns a piece of land in Eretz Yisrael. You had a father, you had a grandfather, you had a Yerusha. You own land in Eretz Yisrael. How could you not have land? So the Vilna Gaon says, okay, so I'm going to take that Gemara, I'm going to take this Gemara, I'm going to put the two together. Yeah, Rav Yehuda ben Becerra is a descendant of the Bnei Ephraim, as the Gemara over here reports. And the Bnei Ephraim never made it into the land of Israel. They never got a portion of the land of Israel. Mm-hmm. And so Rav Yehuda ben Becerra really, really has no chelik in Eretz Yisrael, as he is a member of the B'nai Ephraim. So the Vilna Gaon says that...
But is it all of the B'nai Ephraim or portion?
A portion. It's a portion, but he says... No, but I understand that, but Rav Yehuda ben Becerra says he's part of that portion. Then who left?
It's the
Vilna Gaon. It's the Vilna, right, it's...
But he still should have been unusual.
Correct. It's again. It helps a little bit, but it's just brilliant how he puts the two gemaras together. Okay, he's really a brilliant man.
The idea that these people died because they didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. The Mishnah says that if somebody doesn't believe in the resurrection of the dead, then they're gone. They're finished. So where did they come from? Where their neshama or their souls?
Right, it's a good question. They're Ein lo chelek lam haba.
Right, so
and Yechezkel brought them back.
From where? If they have gone already.
Right, I hear that.
But it doesn't have to be, you're not even lam haba to be brought back.
Where were they?
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, it's a very good point. Okay, we're on to the second part of today's daf, and that now is the story of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Okay? We know a little bit about them. They were thrown into the Kivshan HaEsh. They survived. Right? Much like the story of Avram being thrown into the Kivshan HaEsh survived. The difference is, by Avram, we know it through Midrashim. By Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, it's actually Pesukim. Pesukim tells the story of how they were thrown into the furnace by Nebuchadnezzar. They survived, they came out. So our Gemara is going to spend a lot of time discussing the story. The storyline, it comes up over here because we did touch on this idea of people coming into Dura, which is where Nebuchadnezzar stationed himself, and they were killed and they were slaughtered and murdered, and so we're now here, and for the rest of today and tomorrow, we're going to talk about the story of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Tanu Rabbanan. We're on Sadi Beis Amud Beis, and we are about 10 lines from the bottom of the page. It's the beginning of the line. Tanu Rabbanan, Shal Shehipol Nebuchadnezzar Rasha Hananiah Mishael Ve'Azar LeKivshon HaEsh Amalo Kadosh Baruch LeYechezkel Lech VeHechiyah Meisim B'Dikas Dura. At the time when they were thrown into Kivshon HaEsh, coordinates with Yechezkel resurrecting the dry bones in Dura. Kevin Shehechiyah Osam Bawat Samos V'Tavchu Lo Lo Rasha. Now, what happens now is that those people that were resurrected by Yechezkel run over to Nebuchadnezzar and smack him on the face. Lo Rasha Al Panav. Smacks Nebuchadnezzar on the face. Now it gets a little bit stranger than that because they were resurrected, and it seems like from the Gemara.
The bones came.
It was just the bones. Right? It was just the bones. It was not actual flesh. Okay. So which makes the story even more bizarre. Losa Rasha Alpanav Amar Mativan Shal Elu. So Nebuchadnezzar is like, what's going on over here?
Imagine.
Amar Lo Chavrem Shal Elu Michaya Mason Bibikas Dura. So their friends of theirs, resurrected these people out in the valley of Dura. Pasach va'amar. And so now what we're going to be doing is we're going to be reading Pesukim out of Daniel. They're hard because it's Aramaic and like real Aramaic, like ancient Aramaic. Right, that this is how they spoke in Dura. And so they're going to be very hard. I'll struggle. And we're going to be reading Pesukim out of Daniel, and you'll see through these Pesukim that this is Nebuchadnezzar's reaction to hearing about, and not just hearing about, but now as we learn the Gemara, seeing the actual people who are resurrected. So we kama rav ravim v'tamui kama tkifin machuse machus alma. How great and how strong is the kingdom of God? V'shaltanai im dar v'dar, and how he rules over from one generation to the next generation. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Yotzik Zav Rosech Lesoch Piv Shal Oso Rasha. They poured molten lead down the mouth of that Rasha. She'il Malei Ba Malach. I'm sorry, molten gold. She'il Malei Ba Malach V'Satcho Apiv Bikesh Lignos Kol Shiros V'Tishmachos Shamed David B'Sefer Tehillah. he was really extolling the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and had he been able to continue, his praises would have been better. The Gemara says this. His praises would have been better than the Shiros and Tishbachos of David HaMelech. Hard to conceptualize, but he started off, and had he been able to continue, it would have gone on. Tana Rabbanan Shishanisim Nasu Ba'osu Hayom. This very day now that we're describing, the day where Hanani, Mishael, Azari were thrown into Kishon Ha'ish, the day where the bones were resurrected. So the Gemara now is going to count based on tradition. It's just a tradition. We don't know this any other way, that there were six miracles that happened on that day. The Elohim. Number one, Saf HaKivshan. The Kivshan floated to the top. The Kivshan, this furnace, was a hole in the ground. It was a pit. And so when Hanani, Mishael, and Azari were thrown in, they were thrown into the pit. No one would be able to see what's going on because it was the pit. So the pit elevated up so that people would see what's going on. Number two, Nifrat HaKivshan. Breaches in the walls of this Kivshan so that people could see what's going on over there. Number three, Humak Sodo. The foundation of the pit started decaying, meaning that to show everybody that this was a very hot fire. V'ne'epach selem al panav. The huge idol that was made by Nebuchadnezzar went down, face down. V'nisrafu arba malchios. Four kings died on that day. V'hechi Yecheskel es ha-meisim b'bikasdura. And number six is that Yecheskel resurrected the dead in the valley of Dura. All six things happened on that day. The Kulu Gemara, of those six things, almost all of them are tradition. Gemara here means tradition. The Arba Malchus Kra, except for the fact that the four kings died. That is a pasuk in Daniel. Back to Sefer Daniel, if you will. The pasuk says, V'nebuchadnezzar Malchus Shalach Lemichnash La'ach Dar Panaya Sagnaya Upachvasa. Ad Ragzaria Gadbaria.
Wow.
I'm struggling. Did Tavaria Taftaya Vecholshatune Medinasa. He got all the leaders of the Medina. Uksiv, and then reading on, I see Guvan Yudan, they brought in the Jews, meaning to throw into the furnace. Uksiv, and we're just gonna now jump ahead in the Psukim, third parak of Daniel. And then as you read on, you will note that for the four kings that were mentioned in the previous pasuk, the Adragazraya, the Gadbaraya, they're not mentioned anymore. How come they're not mentioned anymore? Because they died. Because they died in the furnace. We're going to go a little bit further today. Okay. Tani debay Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Afil b'shasa sakana leishana adam es atzmo min harabanus shelo. When, even during the time of sakana, danger, mortal danger, you shouldn't change your demeanor. It's unbelievable, Rashi. Please take a look. Rashi, it's the last one of the last Rashi's on the page. Ayishana min harabanus shelo. Rashi writes, Sherei Hananya Mishael v'Azaria ha'yulavushim bigdei tif artan. When they were about to be thrown into the furnace, they wore royal garments. Royal garments. Kishehushachu l'kivshan al yishaneh. Right? Don't give off fear. It's unbelievably difficult. Right? I don't know how I would react, but the Gemara says it, Rashi explains, don't give off any fear. Shelo yireh muv'al u'mufuchad. Don't look afraid, even in the face of death. U'mizbayshan son av mipanav. And the enemies will be afraid of you. Even in your death, you should face death with a certain amount of class, dignity, and pride. Okay? Shenemar, and the Gemara says it's actually pretty clear from the Pesukim. Ba'adin gavraya eilech kaftu b'sar v'lehem. They went dressed with their sarvalehem. Sarvalehem, we've seen in the Gemara a number of times. That word is some sort of royal clothing. Pachehem, their pants. The Carvel Sehem. Another item of quoting. I don't know what it is. Amar of Yochanan. Gedolim tzadikim yosem in Malachi Hashareis. The tzadikim are greater than Malachi Hashareis. Shenemar, Anava Amar, back to Sefer Daniel Perigimel. Ha'anach hazeh guvrain, Arba Sharin Mahalchim Bego Nura. I see four men in the fire. The Chavalo Aisa Bahon and the Ravya Di Rivaya the Mar Lebar Alahin. And they all appear to me to be children of God. Right? Sons of God. Now, what does that mean, four? What do you mean four? There were three there. There were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Right? Who's the fourth? A Malach. How did they all look to Nebuchadnezzar? They all look like Malachim. Amar Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chanilai B'shashi Yatzur Chanayim B'shav Ezar Mikishan Eish Bo Kol Umas Ha'olam V'tavchul Esonim Shal Yisrael Al Paneihem. When Chanayim B'shav Ezar come out of the Kishan Eish, what is the reaction? What's the general reaction of the world, of the population of the world? They actually are angry at us, and the Gemara says they smack us in the face. Now the Gemara says Esonim Shal Yisrael, but you know by now that's a euphemism. It means us. They smack us in the face. Amru Lahem, and here's the problem. Yesh Lachem Alakaza, your God is unbelievable. Helps Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah survive a fiery furnace. The Atem Shachavim Matzalem, and you bow down to idols? Are you people out of your mind? And the reaction is, Halacha Hashem Atzdaka, God, you're righteous. And we are embarrassed, right? The general feeling is that, yeah, wow, that's terribly embarrassing that this is our God, and meanwhile we turn to other gods. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the top of the summit.